topic today is the launch of a public consultation on new guidelines on fats in food. My name is Nika Alexander, and I am a communications officer with the WHO media team. We will have three speakers today. We begin with Dr. Francesco Branca, the director of WHO's Department of Nutrition for Health and Development. Second, we will hear from Dr. Chizuru Nishida, the coordinator for the Nutrition Policy and Scientific Advice Unit, also in WHO's Department of Nutrition. And we will be joined by phone by Dr. Shriki Kumanyika, chair of the WHO Nutrition Guidance Expert Advisory Group. They will each make introductory statements, after which we will take your questions. For the question and answer session, please dial 01 on your keypad to be added to the queue. First, we begin with Dr. Branca.
Thank you very much, and good morning, good afternoon to all. Non-communicable diseases are the world's leading cause of death. In 2016, they were responsible for almost 40 million deaths, which is about three-fourths of all deaths. Cardiovascular diseases were the main killer, being responsible for nearly half of all deaths from non-communicable diseases. Many of those deaths were premature, under the age of 70, and occurred in low and middle-income countries. Cardiovascular diseases are largely preventable by adopting a healthy diet, being physically active, and eliminating tobacco use and harmful use of alcohol. Generally, healthy diets are mainly based on plant foods, are high in unrefined carbohydrates, low in free sugars and salt, high in fruits and vegetables, with fats mainly from vegetal sources. Dietary saturated fatty acids and trans fatty acids are of particular concern because high levels of intake are correlated with increased risk of cardiovascular diseases. Saturated fatty acids are found in foods from animal sources such as butter, cow's milk, meat, salmon, and egg yolks, and in some plant-derived products such as chocolate and cocoa butter and coconut, palm, and palm kernel oils. Trans fatty acids can be produced industrially by the partial hydrogenation of vegetable and fish oils, but also occur naturally in meat and dairy products from ruminant animals. The predominant source of trans fatty acid intake in many populations are industrially produced trans fatty acids found in baked and fried foods, prepackaged snacks and food, and partially hydrogenated cooking oils and fats, which are often used at home, in restaurant, or the informal food sector. Today, we're launching a public consultation on the new recommendations on intake of saturated fats and trans fat, updated after 15 years. The recommendations are addressed to adults and children. For saturated fatty acids, WHO recommends that when saturated fatty acid intake is greater than 10% of total energy intake, the intake is reduced. That is reduced to less than 10% of total energy intake, and then when saturated fatty acid intake is less than 10% of total energy intake, it is not increased. It also recommends that polyunsaturated fatty acids are used as a source of replacement energy. For trans fat, WHO recommends that when trans fat intake is greater than 1% of total energy intake, the intake of trans fat is reduced. It's reduced to less than 1% of total energy intake. And then when it is less than 1% of total energy intake, it is not increased. And WHO also recommends that polyunsaturated fatty acids are used as a replacement. The recommendations are based on all scientific evidence on the subject, including the large body of science developed in the last 15 years. Compared to the previous WHO recommendation, they are meant for individuals, include a recommendation not to increase saturated fat if currently already consuming less than 10% as part of nutritionally adequate diet, and a similar recommendation not to increase trans fat if the intake is less than 1%. They include an explicit recommendation to replace saturated fat or trans fat with polyunsaturated fatty acid, noting that the use of monounsaturated fatty acids is also acceptable to reduce low-density lipoprotein cholesterol. And now I'd like to hand over the floor to Dr. Shizuru Nishida, who will explain the process of the guideline development and the public consultation.
Thank you. Good afternoon and good morning, everybody. I would like to sort of quickly provide a description and a process we have gone through in developing this guidelines. WHO's new guideline development process was actually implemented organization-wide in 2009 and 2010, and starting 2010, and guided by the WHO Handbook for Guideline Development. This was updated in 2014. And these saturated fatty acid and trans fatty acid guidelines were developed in accordance with this new WHO guideline development process and outlined in this WHO handbook, which I just mentioned. In accordance with this organization-wide transformation, so to speak, in strengthening WHO's role in developing evidence-informed public health guidance, the Department of Nutrition for Health and Development has also taken action to strengthen our roles and the leadership in providing evidence-informed policy and program guidance to member states for promoting healthy diets and nutrition throughout the life course. As part of this process, we developed in 2010 the WHO Nutrition Guidance Expert Advisory Group, NUGAG, subgroup on diet and health. This is the expert group developing the guideline development group, in other words. And we also set up another group called WHO Steering Committee for Nutrition Guidelines Development. This is the internal WHO the committee, which guides which provides the overall guidance. So the specific steps we have taken in the developing these guidelines, since the 2010, the initiation of this new process, we have been updating the nutrient dietary goals or population nutrient intake goals, which was originally developed by the 1989 WHO Working Group and was updated by 2002 expert consultation. And we have been updating the nutrients by nutrients. And so initially, WHO Secretariat undertakes the scoping of the guidelines or the scoping of the issues. Then this the scoping, sometimes we commission this scoping process and then review, but usually we do that within WHO. And then we have a public consultation on this particular scoping. And then we review these comments we received from the public consultation. We then present this to this NUGAG meeting, and together with our analysis and also the comments themselves that we received from public consultation, that then the NUGAG review and analyze these comments together with the issues on the plate, and then identify the priority health outcomes and which the systematic reviews need to address. Then the systematic reviews then undertaken and evidence review are conducted using grade evidence profiles. And this use of grade is also something which is very new and was implemented since 2010. And it provided a very systematic review of a systematic way of reviewing the evidence. Then the NUGAG meets and discussed and review the systematic reviews and the grade evidence profiles to determine the quality of evidence and decision the tables to produce recommendations. WHO Secretariat then produce draft guidelines taking into consideration of these recommendations provided by this the experts group. Then the draft guidelines are peer-reviewed by an external peer-review group, which is set up to review this draft guidelines. Simultaneously, we then undertake public consultation on draft guidelines, which we are launching today for this saturated fatty acid and trans fatty acid guidelines. This particular public consultation will last from today, 4th of May, to 1st of June. And how you will be able to get hold of the draft guidelines and how you will be able to provide the comments are posted on our departmental website, and it will also be posted on the WHO website as well. And these are also circulated through our departmental mailing list, which contain more than 6,000 the addresses. And also this will be circulated through the UN Standing Committee on Nutrition mailing list, which contains approximately 2,500. Once we have received the comments, we then review and assess these comments received through the public consultation as well as through the external peer reviews. Then we will finalize the guidelines, which will then be submitted to the Guideline Review Committee, which will assess and make the final clearance before we are able to publish this officially as a WHO guidelines.
Thank you, Dr. Nishida. Before we go to our last speaker, just to remind those of you on the line, if you want to be put in the queue to ask a question, please dial 01. Next, we have Dr. Shriki Kumanyika, who is the chair of the WHO Nutrition Guidance Expert Advisory Group. Over to you now, Dr. Kumanyika.
Yes, thank you, and good afternoon. So I'm going to describe the type of evidence that we had for the recommendations for saturated fatty acids and trans fatty acids. By way of an overview, I will say that both of these, both sets of recommendations are based on what we judge to be critical outcomes related to cardiovascular disease. For each outcome, the way the GRADE process works, for each critical outcome, we evaluate the total body of evidence associated with that particular outcome, and then determine whether there's a sufficient amount and quality of evidence to make a recommendation, and whether that evidence taken together with certain other considerations warrants a strong or a conditional recommendation. So to start with saturated fatty acid, for recommendation one, which is to reduce saturated fatty acid intake if it's greater than 10%, for adults, it applies to adults and children. For adults, we had moderate evidence from 13 randomized controlled trials, which I will abbreviate as RCTs, going forward. Randomized controlled trials are considered high-quality evidence by definition, but if in that body of evidence there are certain limitations, for example, if there's some mixture of studies where the confidence in that finding is mixed and not completely consistent, then we might downgrade that somewhat to a moderate level of evidence. And so I just wanted to explain, so that's how we're looking at a body of studies. And in this case, we had 13 randomized trials that that were relating a decrease in saturated fatty acid intake to a decrease in cardiovascular risk above that level of 10%. For children, we used the adult studies. We felt they were applicable to children. And we also had studies conducted in children for we also use evidence on low-density lipoprotein, or LDL cholesterol, from 69 RCTs, which were considered high evidence that directly informed, even with a biomarker, directly informed the recommendation. And then for children, we use the data from adults on cardiovascular events and LDL cholesterol, and we had 6 RCTs conducted in children on LDL cholesterol as an outcome, and we had 2 RCTs conducted in children on the outcome of diastolic blood pressure. So the second recommendation, which is to reduce saturated fatty acid intake to less than 10% of energy, was a conditional recommendation based on the LDL cholesterol data, the 69 RCTs that were high evidence considered directly applicable. We used that for both adults and children, and we had one randomized controlled trial conducted in children on the LDL cholesterol outcome. So that recommendation conditional because we did not have anything on cardiovascular events, and relying on the biomarker is associated with somewhat less confidence in the data. So that's conservative recommendation as conditional. The third recommendation suggests using polyunsaturated fatty acids as a source of replacement energy if needed when reducing the saturated fat. That's also a conditional recommendation. We did have data on cardiovascular events. We had 7 of the RCTs judged to be moderate quality evidence for adults. We had the LDL cholesterol evidence from the 69 RCTs, and we used that evidence for children, and we had the one LDL cholesterol trial in children. The fourth is to reduce the saturated fatty acid intake, not to increase if it's less than 10% of energy. And for that, we use, for both adults and children, the LDL cholesterol data that were collected in the 69 randomized trials of adults. So those are the body of evidence for the saturated fatty acid recommendations, all from randomized trials, and applying the data from the adult trials to children, and in some cases with additional data for children. Now I'll turn to the trans fatty acid recommendations. The first recommendation is to reduce the trans fatty acid intake if it's greater than 1%. For that recommendation, which was strong, we had a prospective cohort study, not a trial, for the outcome of all-cause mortality. We also had that was low-quality evidence because prospective studies, cohort studies that are not trials, start off as low evidence, and then sometimes they are upgraded under certain conditions if there's a dose response and so forth. So we had prospective study on all-cause mortality, low evidence. For CHD mortality, we had 5 prospective cohort studies. That body of evidence judged to be moderate because of the characteristics of the trials. And the coronary heart disease events, we had another 6 prospective cohort studies. Sometimes the same study was contributing to more than one outcome. And then we had 13 RCTs on LDL cholesterol. Those 13 RCTs included 18 comparisons altogether of the effects on LDL cholesterol of different combinations of intake, and taken together, we felt that that body of evidence from the prospective studies and the trials supported a strong recommendation. For children, and this will be the case for all of these trans fatty acid recommendations, we did not find studies in children, so the evidence used to extend the recommendation to children is the same evidence that we had for adults. For the second recommendation, which is to go to less than 1% of total energy with trans fatty acids, we had prospective studies again, 4 prospective studies and on CHD mortality, and 4 that had information on CHD events. And those were judged to be moderate quality. And then we had the 13 RCTs on LDL cholesterol. And that's a conditional recommendation, again, because we had less evidence. And when you have less evidence and rely more heavily on biomarkers for the randomized trials, those recommendations are more likely to be debated. The third recommendation on the replacement for trans fatty acids was based on the LDL cholesterol data in adults, and we used 13 RCTs for that. They rated high quality evidence. And finally, for the recommendation number 4, applicable to adults and children, if the intake is less than 1% of total energy, the recommendation is not to increase it. We used the 4 prospective studies that had information on CHD mortality, and the four that had information on CHD events, moderate quality for those, and the 13 RCTs for the LDL cholesterol, and applied those also to children. So I'll stop there, and if there are questions about that that come up later, I'll be happy to answer.
Thank you, Dr. Kumanyika. This type of information is available in the guidelines as well if you're interested in seeing the process and those detailed elements as well. Because we've really hit you with a wall of information, I just wanted to give Dr. Branca the chance to summarize again simply what WHO's new draft recommendations are on the 10% of your diet that comes from these types of fats.
So very simply, for adults and children, saturated fat should be reduced to less than 10% of total energy and shouldn't be increased. For trans fatty acid, in adults and children, they should be reduced to less than 1% of total energy. They should not be increased. And for both fats, they should be replaced with polyunsaturated fatty acids.
Thank you. So we're ready for our first question now. We have a question from Jessica Colburn. I'm not sure I'm getting your name right, in New York. When you come on, please say your name clearly and state the outlet you are with. Over to you. I may have the name completely wrong. It sounded like Jessica Colburn. Is there someone there with this name? Otherwise, for other journalists on the line, if you have a question, please dial 01 and you'll be put in queue to ask your question. I think I'll start myself with one, which I think others might be asking as well. Qualitatively, what is the difference between, or is there a difference between trans fats that come from an animal source and trans fats that occur in industrially produced foods?
Well, our analysis indicates that the effects on the cardiovascular risk factor is the same. In terms of the availability of the presence of this type of fatty acid in food, the majority that we have is provided by by partially hydrogenated vegetable oil, so it's the industrial fats that we're concerned with. With average diets, the consumption of trans fat that comes from ruminant trans fat, the one in dairies, basically is below 1%.
Okay, and ruminants, just for those who don't remember our types of animals?
Well, it's cows, basically, sheep, they will be...
They count as ruminants. Thank you very much. So I think we have Jessica back on the line again. You may have been muted before, Jessica. Do you have a question for us, please?
Actually, I think my name is Tricia Calvo, and I'm with Consumer Reports.
Thank you. Go ahead.
That's why I didn't respond the first time. Anyway, thanks for taking my question. I wanted to ask about the recommendation to replace the trans and saturated fatty acids with polyunsaturated fatty acids. And why are polyunsaturated fatty acids singled out, and what about the monounsaturated fatty acids?
The studies we have indicate that the polyunsaturated fatty acid replacement has actually demonstrated impact on cardiovascular events. Whereas the evidence we have for polyunsaturated and for monounsaturated refers to the surrogate outcomes, which are mainly around LDL low density lipoproteins. So we document actually a stronger impact of the polyunsaturated compared to the monounsaturated.
If I can also add, we have, if you are able to get hold of our draft guidelines, and we have really in details explained this in the remarks, which goes along with the recommendations. But the recommendations are to replace it with polyunsaturated fatty acid, but that doesn't preclude using the monounsaturated fatty acid as a replacement either. it does. We are recommending, we are highlighting the PUFA because it did have the stronger, the more significant effect in lowering the LDL cholesterol.
Thank you, Dr. Nishida. Do you have a follow-up, Tricia?
Yes. There has been some concern about the omega-6, the high omega-6 intake in the United States. So would you say that there is a difference in the type of polyunsaturated fat that people should be focused on?
Well, at the moment, our reviews have not gone into this analysis. We are aware of the discussion around the risk of inflammation that an excess of omega-6 might have. Actually, that's not something we have been able to document systematically. But I must say that these guidelines will also have to be read in conjunction with a forthcoming guideline on polyunsaturated fat that WHO is working on. So for the time being, we don't make really a difference between the omega-6 and the omega-3 as replacements for the saturated fat or the trans.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, the audio file will be posted very soon after the press conference ends if you need clarification from what was said. And for those of you who wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your keypad to be added to the queue, which is very short right now. So basically, your question will get on. I have another question myself, and this is something that journalists had asked us in as we prepared for this press conference. So I know that's a question some of you have. What exactly is the difference? Because our previous recommendations also said 10%, 1%. So can you sort of tease out what the difference is in what we're recommending today based on the evidence you've seen in these last 10, 15 years?
The basic difference was that it was highlighted by Dr. Branca earlier that the previous the guidance we had was based on what we call the population nutrient intake goals. So those... limiting the saturated fatty acid to less than 10% and trans fatty acid to less than 1% was considered to be the population average. But our NUGAG, our experts group, have decided that these recommendations are applicable at individual levels. So our new guidelines are for individual, so not necessarily for the population average. So that's a big difference, in fact. So, but one another difference, particularly for the trans fat, is that this guideline includes clearly specified that trans fat include both industrially produced trans fatty acid and the ruminant trans fatty acid. Previously, the recommendation did not really clarify that. It just simply said the trans fatty acid. It wasn't really, there wasn't clear distinction. But this guidelines for the trans fat clearly indicates that this guideline for less than 1% is for total trans fatty acid. And another new aspect is that this guideline provides the replacement recommendations, which we did not do previously.
Thank you very much. And just one thing to avoid any confusion. Today we are talking about the 10% of your calories that come from these specific types of fats. There can be other fats in your diet as well.
Yeah, perhaps I could provide some concrete data in an example. So if you use an individual, an adult who has an active adult who maybe has energy need of about 2,500 calories, we're talking about 10% of that energy. So we're talking about 250 calories coming from saturated fat. And that is approximately, you know, a bit less than 30 grams of saturated fat. Now, how can you get those 30 grams of saturated fat? You will have in about 50 grams of butter, or you might have it in about 130 grams, 100 to 150 grams of cheese with 30% fat, or in about a liter of full fat milk, or in about 50 grams of palm oil. That's where you would find your 30 grams of saturated fat.
Okay, thank you very much. I think we have no more questions on the line at the moment, but I want to let you know that there are resources that will be available for you. So just as we headed into this press conference, the draft guidelines were posted. At the moment, they're on the page of the Nutrition Department, but you also will be able to find them from the main WHO.int page. They are going up today, and they will be online until the 1st of June. That's open for comment as well. On the 14th of May, WHO will launch an initiative related to trans fats, and we'll have a press conference for that. So please put that in your agendas. That was the 14th of May. If you have any follow-up questions, please get in touch with myself or Paul Garwood. He was our contact information was on the media advisory for this event. As I don't see any other questions, we will, in fact, completely wrap up now. Lastly, we will be posting the transcript and an audio file of today's press conference as soon as they are ready. It's usually fairly shortly anyways for the audio file, fairly shortly after the event. Lastly, I'd like to thank our two speakers in the room and also Dr. Kumanyika on the line. Thank you for being with us. And thank you also for calling in and listening. Speak to you next time.